Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome to Sawbones, America's Tour for Misguided Medicine. I am your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
Sydney, I got a therapeutic orange pentacolta chilling upstairs, so we're fine.
A therapeutic? Yeah. Orange pentacolta?
Why were you so distracted by me cracking open a refreshing cheer wine?
It was a very loud, like I felt like it was, you intentionally held your can of cheer wine very close to the microphone as you opened it. Like it felt...
Impossible.
It felt intentional.
You don't have headphones on. How would you have any way of like... of that impacting you?
I mean, it was, I'm just sitting here like in real life, like not headphone sound, but like all like actual sound, and it was very loud.
But there's people at home who are like, wow, that sounds really refreshing.
Are you like a shill for cheer wine?
For crisp, refreshing cheer wine? Made the same recipe since 1917.
Nope, actually, I'm gonna have to stop you right there. We don't get paid to do any ads for them, so
moving on.
Sorry.
Therapeutic,
nothing for free, guys. Nothing, well, except the show is free.
Therapeutic orange pentacolta.
Well,
it's medicinal prescription, okay. Orange pentacolta.
That sounds, first of all, that sounds delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And especially because I requested,
it can be a little bland.
Yeah.
By itself, not bland, just a little like texturally unsound.
Can it?
I'm thinking some like...
Are you sure? Wait, have you ever had it before?
Fruit salad maybe on top, or perhaps some chocolate shavings.
Oh, I like the chocolate shave. Chocolate and orange.
Chocolate and orange, exactly.
Yeah, that's a good classic combination. But
it's a therapeutic, yeah.
Okay, therapeutic, no, and it sounds amazing, and I asked you to make that, so I'm really glad that you did. But why are we calling it therapeutic?
Well, it treats the only disease that I think everybody is qualified to treat. And that is scurvy. As we all know, soldiers abroad in the ocean felt...
Soldiers abroad in the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Can I just tell the Christmas story, please?
The Christmas story of scurvy?
The soldiers abroad in the ocean started walking, and the friend said, you look shorter, like you're scrunched over, and you're scrunching around the ship. You got to do something about that. And one of the Italian sailors on the boat was like, hey, it's me, Luigi. I made the orange pentacolta for you. And they ate it. They all shared it on Christmas Day. And they all started, like, while they were eating it, they're like, oh, feel a little better. They're, like, sitting up a bit straighter. And so when they opened their crackers and they all put their crowns on, they were like really did feel like kings for the first time in quite a few months. And what they discovered it was the orange pentacolta, specifically the orange pentacolta part of it, and
right.
It had made them feel better and cured their scurvy. And that is why every year we get scurvy, and then on Christmas Day we eat orange pentacolta, and it cures us of our scurvy.
That is the McElroy family tradition of Christmas.
That's the Christmas story, as in the Bible. Look it up.
Okay, so it's not. I'm pretty sure that's wrong. I'm definitely sure your information about scurvy. I mean, I know you're onto something here with the oranges, but do you know anything about scurvy?
I mean, I just literally laid out everything I know for you about scurvy. And
so you think it makes people extensive. Scrunch up?
Kind of scrunchy? Yeah.
Okay.
When I used to play EverQuest, I would walk around crouched and tell people I had scurvy.
And they believed you?
Well, I mean, you can't get scurvy. It's a video game, sweetheart, so I doubt they did.
I don't know. I thought maybe in your video game world, like you could get scurvy, like you could get vitamin deficiencies.
I'm sure there are games where you can get scurvy, perhaps with Sid Meier's Pirates, something like that.
I'm certain there have to be, right?
Yeah.
Crusader
Kings is probably...
Why don't we talk about scurvy?
Yeah,
since
I'd love
you appear to know very little.
Not very much.
I want to thank a lot of people. People are dying to know about scurvy. I think it's because pirates. Dying, everybody loves
people
pirates.
People are dying of scurvy every day.
No, well, not many. Not often. Not as many. But thank you, Rebecca, Josh, Stephanie, Abigail, Chad, Kate, Brittany, Allison, Nicole, Alicia, Jennifer, and Alice. Whew.
There's a lot of people wanting
Got
scurvy fever.
A lot of pirates out there wanting to know what to do.
Scurvy fever seems redundant. Let's just say scurvy.
Let's just say scurvy. I don't know that they have scurvy. That's what all the emails were. Dear Sawbones, save me.
What do I do about this?
I have scurvy.
I'm scrunched over.
As you probably already know, and as Justin kind of already alluded to, scurvy is a deficiency of vitamin C. It's the easiest, I think, of the diseases to explain, maybe, that we've tackled.
And the funnest to say.
You don't have enough vitamin C, you need more. We really didn't know about vitamin C until the 1930s. It wasn't described until then, like 1933. But we kind of figured out that there was something wrong with people and that vitamins, well, things that contained something, foods that had something in common could fix it a lot sooner before we knew terms like vitamin deficiency and scurvy and vitamin C and all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. We sort of understood scurvy. Now, let me tell you a little bit about scurvy first before we get into the history of it.
Okay.
Because luckily, nowadays, most of us aren't going to get scurvy.
That's good to hear. Imagine my relief.
Vitamin C is easily obtained through our diet or through lots of people like to supplement with it. I know, Justin, you're a fan when you have a cold.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not hard to maintain your vitamin C stores. But let's say you go about 60 to 90 days without vitamin C.
Okay.
You're going to start showing the first stage signs of scurvy. The first stage of scurvy is like just fatigue and some muscle aches. Like you're really tired. And this was a big problem, as you can imagine, because we're going to talk a lot about ships and sailors. And those are the people who, you know, we associate with scurvy. If they were just exhausted and couldn't do their work on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
The second stage progresses to the classic, you've probably heard of bleeding gums.
Right.
So your gums start to bleed. You start to get some joint pains. You may start to lose some teeth. Then we progress to the third stage, which is much worse. The pain, the joint pain and the muscle pain and everything becomes much, much worse. Your gums, instead of just bleeding, they bleed a lot more, but they also start to like putrefy and rot. Because there's a lot of talk when you read about like historical descriptions of scurvy about people's breath. Their breath is just like death because their gums are rotting.
Mm-hmm.
You can start to get hemorrhages all over your skin. You can start to get ulcers all over your skin and gangrene, and things start kind of dying and breaking down. And then in the final stage of scurvy, you start to get fevers, probably because you're getting extra, you know, you're getting infections and stuff too. You get necrosis, you know, death of different tissue areas. You get hemorrhaging, and the hemorrhaging can finally occur in like your heart or your brain, somewhere really important. And then unfortunately you can die. So that's kind of what happens with scurvy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can imagine this happening to a lot of people at once, this was probably pretty terrifying.
Right. On a ship especially, because you're roughly on the same time, mm-hmm. I mean, presumably, since the last vitamin C. So I bet you would see people kind of get it in waves.
Exactly. Exactly. And you had no idea how people were getting it or how to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that it's kind of funny, because if you look back as to like why, when you start to see descriptions of scurvy when it happened, you could theorize that initially humans lived where stuff grew all year long. We lived in like warmer areas.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, if we lived cold places before we knew how to grow things, then, you know, we'd die in the when it was really cold.
Right.
So as we start to see farming and like agrarian societies, and humans start like migrating to more temperate regions, and we start depending more on grain and things like that, we start to see vitamin deficiencies like scurvy. Because mm-hmm. then we're not naturally around all the vitamins we need necessarily.
That makes sense.
You can't get citrus fruit all year long and such. The Egyptians spoke of something that sounded like scurvy in the Ebers Papyrus. They actually advised, and they described something with bleeding and hemorrhaging and all this stuff, and then they said, you know, you should probably eat some onions for it.
Have I haven't seen onions?
Yes, there is.
Nailed it. What's up, old timey fools?
I know, it's pretty good.
Got it in one.
I don't know how, probably just through process of elimination, like try different things. Onions seem to work. Or onions are good on things? Like, they just liked onions?
Onions are weird. It's weird to think that onions have any sort of nutritional value. They just seem like salt, like, kind of like salty water. Like, hard, salty water.
That's what you think an onion is like?
It's like hard, salty water.
I feel like you've been eating the wrong onions. Or maybe, do you know what an onion is?
Yeah, celery's like crunchy water. We know this.
Okay.
This is known. And onion's like hard, salty water that makes you cry.
So on your burger, do you ask for hard, salty water?
No, I say onions. Like I'm still living in society, Sydney. Sheesh.
Hippocrates also described something that was probably scurvy. He talked about specifically, I mean, whenever you see a description of the bleeding gums and the really bad breath and just like bleeding from the nose and bleeding from the skin and that kind of stuff, it's probably scurvy. I mean, there's lots of other things, but probably scurvy that they were talking about. But he was much less helpful when he talked about what to do. He just said that, look, there is a treatment for it, but, quote, it's a tedious cure that often accompanied a patient to his death. I don't know what the cure was, but it sounds like it wasn't a good
one. That's why he's not even going to deign to detail it there. It's like, trust me, yeah, I do know a way to fix it, but it's like the water, so I'm not even going to lay it out here.
And you're going to die anyway.
Yeah, so it's just like, forget it.
The name scurvy actually probably comes from either the Danish word or the Dutch word for mouth ulcers, which sounds like scurvy because there were a lot of ulcerations in the mouth. So we have the word long before we have the idea of vitamin C or anything like that.
Is it weird that we have like is it weird that we have a name for this? Like is that odd that we have? Because it's not really a disease, right? It's not even really an illness technically, right?
It's a vitamin deficiency.
But it's a vitamin deficiency. It's not like it's vitamin C deficiency. It's not scurvy. Like
it's well,
scurvy.
I mean,
like, giving it a name would seem to imply that it has a pathology, for lack of a better term.
I mean, it does. You need vitamin C for a lot of things.
I'm using the wrong word then. Like, why do we have a name for this? Like, because it's just vitamin C deficiency. You're deficient in vitamin
well,
C.
Well, I think so. First of all, I will say this: we have names for most of the vitamin deficiencies.
Like what?
Pellagra, beriberi,
dropsy.
Well, no, that's a whole other thing. That's many things.
Cropsy.
But there are names for different rickets.
Okay.
There are names for a lot of different vitamin deficiencies. And if I had to guess why, I mean, first of all, doctors love to name things.
Sure.
The only surprising thing is that they're not all named after doctors, right? Because that's typically what we like to do.
Yeah, I'm name surprised actually that the vitamins aren't named after doctors.
It's a good point. But with the vitamin deficiencies, my guess would be it's because we understood that there was a clinical syndrome that these people had, but mm-hmm. long before we understood what was causing it.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
Because we had to understand what a vitamin was and that we needed it for different little processes in our body and what would happen if we didn't have it. And that took us a while to figure out.
That makes sense. Okay.
In the time of the Crusades, there was an epidemic of what was likely, again, just by description, was likely scurvy. And it was actually triggered by the Lenten fast, when soldiers ate little in general. They ate no meat. They ate eel instead of meat. And it actually, because it was at the time of this fast, it was linked back to the eel.
Okay.
People thought that it was related to eating eel because it was believed that eel eat dead people. Eels eat dead people.
Okay.
And so they thought that, I don't think that's true, but so no. They thought that eating an eel would then make you, you know, make like you rot, like your gums rot and putrefy and stuff, because
yuck.
Eels ate dead things anyway. But there's a lot of descriptions of barber surgeons cutting away a lot of dead gum tissue.
Yikes.
Yeah. Which is pretty gross.
That's the worst thing.
It was really in the 1400s when we start to develop like the sailing technology to keep ships at sea for very long voyages.
Oh, right.
That we start to see scurvy as a real problem, because now we have a bunch of guys, usually a bunch of guys, locked on a ship. They're not locked, but I don't know where they're going to go. It's just water
everywhere. They might as well be locked.
Yeah.
Nature's most perfect prison.
For a very long time, and they don't have access usually to fresh fruit and vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
And so you start to see vitamin deficiencies. And sometimes you could make the case, because of this connection, that in some descriptions of scurvy historically, what we're really describing is probably a lot of different vitamin deficiencies.
Mm.
Because these sailors did not have like a very varied diet.
All they knew is they were falling apart.
Right. And so like there were sometimes where you may see descriptions of scurvy that have things attributed to them that may have been vitamin D deficiency or vitamin B deficiency or other vitamin deficiencies as well.
What do they call vitamin B deficiency?
It depends on which one. There's beriberi and there's pellagra. There are different types of vitamin B. And
got it.
Yeah. Vasco da Gama, who of course was looking for a route to the East Indies by rounding the Cape of Good Hope, he lost 100 of his 160 men to scurvy.
Yikes.
So it was a huge problem when we start to look at these long sea voyages. And there are many, many really explicit descriptions of scurvy from these trips, from the doctors aboard these ships or just from the men aboard these ships. There is a poem that I stumbled across, and I don't want to read you the entire poem. It's by Luis de Camoens, who wrote about in the 1400s, wrote about scurvy. But there's some, like I said, there's some really crazy descriptions from this time period, like ghastly the mouth and gums, enormous swelled, an instant putrid like a dead man's wound, poisoned with fetid streams, the air round. It's really
very dramatic,
beautiful stuff,
stuff
really. Yeah. Lovely, I would say. Da Gama, for example, had no idea what to do, what this was or what to do for all of his sailors who were dying. So he advised that they start drinking their own urine.
Does urine have vitamin C in it?
If well, you could, if you're vitamin C deficient, no. But if you take,
right, 'cause it,
if you take extra vitamin C, yes. I would not say that it was helpful in this case.
Right.
Magellan probably lost about half of his crew on three different ships to scurvy. So
they must have thought it was curses, right? Had to.
I'm sure that was part of the thought. We'll get into that. There were lots of theories as to what was happening, but yes, there was a lot about bad luck and curses, mm-hmm. and you know, that kind of a lot of superstition surrounding mm-hmm. scurvy. But did you know this about Magellan, that he had three ships, 250 men, and that in total only 18 returned?
Oh my God.
I didn't know that. Now, not all of those were lost to scurvy, but most still, of them were, about half of them were.
That's bad luck.
Cartier lost so many men on his voyages to scurvy, and it was so horrible to watch that he actually had an autopsy done on one of the men on his ship to try to figure out like what was going on, which is interesting for the time period that somebody was thinking like, I don't know, let's cut this person open and see if we can figure it out. That was some advanced thinking. And there's some writing about what they found, like some green and black lungs and a withered heart and a jug full of red date colored water around it. But you know, they didn't really figure it out.
It was the Grinch. It was pretty much the Grinch.
It was the Grinch. His heart did not manage to grow three sizes though.
Sadly.
Cartier also wrote that he found a man named Dom Agaya who claimed that he had recovered from scurvy himself by boiling the branches of the aneta tree mm-hmm. and then drinking the water. And so Cartier ordered his men to do so, and it actually cured those who were suffering from scurvy.
Wow.
And it's probably, now there's been some debate as to exactly what tree we're referencing, because that's an outdated name. We don't use that
today.
Term anymore.
We know it today as the orange juice tree.
No.
The tree where orange juice
It was just some
from.
Kind of pine tree that had a lot of vitamin C in its needles.
That's fine, too.
Exactly which evergreen it was, I don't really know. Still, with all this, between 1500 and 1800, scurvy is the leading cause of naval death. Not battle. Just scurvy.
Scurvy. Cool, because it's like inevitable.
And it's by
unless
like...
Unless you got a secret sock somewhere, everybody's getting it.
Exactly. And it's by like orders of magnitude. Like it was like how many men died in battle? It was like 1,000 or so. And then how many men died of scurvy? It was like 100,000 or so. I mean, it was lots of people were dying of scurvy. And the doctors had lots of ideas about that. Maybe it was bad air. We've talked about this before, the idea that, you know,
you go out there where the mermaids are and all of a sudden the air quality dips.
The air quality because of the mermaids?
Well, not because of the mermaid, but it's like, well, mermaid country, air's gonna be bad out here.
I don't remember them covering that in The Little Mermaid.
No. Well, she didn't go up to long enough up to the sea to our level.
Oh.
So she didn't even understand air. That's how dumb she was.
Okay, I don't think you understood the story of The Little Mermaid, but we'll
this
cover
is
that
like
some
water,
other
time. I can't float in. I hate this. I just remembered I can't sing because a witch stole my voice. Oh, crud, I'm still singing.
This is a great rewrite.
As Alan Menken cut that one out.
Okay.
He said it wasn't good enough for the movie.
We'll work on this a little bit later. Come up with like our
I think it's a good start, though.
The Little Mermaid fanfic musical about mm-hmm. scurvy?
Yeah.
Okay, great. There were also theories.
What if she rescued Prince Eric by just shoving limes in his mouth?
Well, that would have been a bad plan.
Why?
And I'll tell you why.
Whoa. Okay, cool. Twist.
Soon. But as I was saying, the doctors had lots of ideas. They thought maybe it was lack of oxygen. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was thick blood. Maybe sugar caused it. Maybe it was melancholy. Guys got sad when they were out on boats for a long time.
Everybody just happened to get sad at the exact same time.
The turning point was really after Sir George Anson attempted to sail around the globe. He didn't just attempt. In 1740, that people realized this was a big deal. It took him 4 years, and he lost 1,400 men largely to scurvy.
Wow.
And it this was such a dramatic event, and it was so well covered when he returned finally that it led to like the age of scurvy research, where we see like people starting to look into what was causing it.
Huh. Interesting. And it turns out oranges the whole time. Or the lack of oranges.
Well, I'll get to that. Spoilers. But why don't we go to the billing department first?
How's that a spoiler? He took the oranges. Let's go. The medicines that escalate macabre
for the mouth. So there's a lot of stuff that medical TV shows can get wrong. But I know one of the most disappointing things for me when I started practicing is how uncomfortable conventional scrubs can be. They don't necessarily fit all body shapes really well, and they're scratchy. And that's until I found Figs. So our shifts in the hospital can be really long, or in the office, and you need scrubs that feel good, that fit you well, and they're going to last all day long. Figs make scrubs for the medical professionals of today. They're not like a paper bag. They're not itchy. They feel great. They're so soft and comfortable. They're form-fitting. They're made for the kind of work that we actually do, where we're up and down, we're on our feet. Sometimes I'm sitting on the exam room floor checking out somebody's toenails, and I need to be comfortable while I'm doing it. They're antimicrobial, so you know that you're going to be protected. You can wash them every time you wear them, which is super important. I wash my scrubs, obviously, every day that I wear them. And they look good, so you can look like those cute TV docs and nurses that that made us go into medicine in the first place. You can check out tops like the Katarina and the Cade pants. It's an easy, relaxed fit, and then so many cargo pockets, which I can tell you that's the main thing we need, are pockets for our pens, pockets for our notebooks, pockets for my Narcan, pockets for everything. I love Figs. They are so comfortable. And with the work that I do, kind of unconventional out in the street medicine, I need something that feels good all day long. With back to school season upon us, it's the perfect time to stock up with some fresh outfits for the year. And Figs just dropped a brand new collection of limited edition styles and accessories. If you're in healthcare, or if you're shopping for someone who is, you can get 15% off your first order at wearfigs.com with the code FIGSRX. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX, FIGSRX.
I have really enjoyed experimenting with fashion, thanks to Quince. Now, I know that that sounds wild coming from me, Justin McElroy, a podcaster. Why, Justin, are you even wearing clothes? I hear you. But when I want to try a new look, what I love about Quince is they have a lot of different clothing items that are at a great price and are really well made. So if you want to try something, you're not sure if it's like, is this going to be the right fit for me? I don't know. Try it out with Quince. There's craftsmanship that you see in every detail of these clothes. I've bought several, like a pair of shorts I love, a pair of pants I wear literally every day. I mean, nearly every day, not literally every day. You know what I mean? Because there's some days you're just like, you can't. But I've been so happy with the pieces that we have gotten from Quince. And also there's a really wide variety of stuff. You know, there's silk tops, skirts for dressing up, denim for everyday wear. I don't mention a lot of the specific items because honestly, you shouldn't trust me about that part of it if it's outside my specific range of clothes for my body. But I will say this, for my body, Quince does right. It sounds weird now that I say it like that. Find gifts so good you'll want to keep them with Quince. Go to quince.com/sawbones for free shipping on your order. 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/sawbones to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/sawbones.
So you were going to tell me about oranges.
So when we the real big breakthrough but with scurvy. Limes. No.
Okay.
Hold on.
All right.
The breakthrough with scurvy comes with James Lind. He was a surgeon aboard the HMS Salisbury and he really uncovered he uncovered the secret. Not the secret that book is about.
No.
That right. I still haven't uncovered because I haven't read that book.
He did use the secret. He did use the secret to find the secret answer to scurvy.
I can only assume that's true.
He made a vision board with pictures of people hunched over.
I don't think that's true.
But he had a question, like it was a picture of a ship with a bunch of dead bodies on it and just like question marks all over it on his vision board, and he's just like, how, why, where, what is happening? And he used the secret and law of attraction, just found it, and he found the answer. Like attracts like, Sid. So if you put positive energy out of the world, that's what you're going to get coming back to you.
Like, is that sort of like Sherlock with his mind palace?
Similar to that, except it's an immutable law of the universe, not unlike gravity or that it's round.
A law of the universe is that it's round?
Law of attraction.
We'll work on that later.
A natural law like those, and that law states that like attracts like, so just put positive scurvy curing energy into the world.
I don't know that I believe in any of this.
Well, you don't need to believe in it. It's a law.
Well,
you don't believe in, if I don't believe in traffic laws, I'm still going to stop at those old red lights, you know?
Let's just stick to scurvy. I think that's the thing that I'm, I can officially talk about. Scurvy struck the ship on which James Lind was a surgeon in 1747 when it was in the English Channel. And there were 12 men who were quite sick, and he began to experiment on them, which I guess we can excuse considering nobody else knew what to do for scurvy. So at least he was trying something. He broke them up into 6 groups of 2 each, and he gave each group either vinegar, cider, elixir of vitriol, nutmeg, seawater, or oranges and lemons.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
See where this is going.
So he compared all the groups. The guys who ate the fruit got better very quickly.
Now, was this on a boat?
Yeah.
Okay.
HMS Salisbury. And
Right. Okay. Now I remember that.
He declared at that point, this is a problem with something with citrus. They need these fresh fruits, citrus fruits, oranges and lemons specifically. Still not understanding, of course, vitamin C by any stretch. But he knew that this is what, yeah, this is what people needed. Now, to be fair, he also included, because he published this, a treatise on scurvy in 1753 that really, I mean, changed the game, so right. to speak, for scurvy. But he also mentioned that he thought things like dampness and depression and crowding and the fact that there were also no fresh vegetables were problems. But among that, he got the important thing.
It's hard.
Oranges and lemons.
Yeah, it's hard to believe it could be something that simple, I guess.
Now, here's the crazy thing. One, it took over 40 years for the Navy to act on it. And two, it seems like for a while, the cure kind of got lost.
What?
Like, he specifically compared things that were acidic to oranges and lemons because there was this belief that maybe it had to do with, like, not enough acid. So if you ate something that was acidic, it would work. And that would work sometimes, oranges and lemons, right. but not other times for things like he had them have cider. And it, you know, wouldn't work. So he specifically compared acidic things to prove that it wasn't the acid. But for some reason, he did this. People listened and went, very interesting. Okay, that's great. And then went back to trying more acidic foods. For instance, a food that is more acidic is a lime.
Oh.
Now, limes have much less vitamin C than lemons.
I did not know that.
Yes, that is true. Secondly, they weren't giving sailors fresh limes. They were giving them lime juice. So it was extracted from the limes, exposed to the air, held in something that contained copper. And the long and short of it is that the less vitamin C that limes already contained was even lessened by the process that it went through. So they really weren't being very helpful with the lime juice. Mm. So in the meantime, other stuff started to become popular. So even though we have figured this out, this is the crazy thing about the story of scurvy. We figured it out. Oranges and lemons, give them to sailors, you're good. For a while, we didn't do it. We gave people malted barley.
Ugh.
There was a theory that from David McBride that all bodies are held together with fixed air. And as we decompose, we lose our fixed air. And that if we have something fermented, that it will replace the fixed air. Which also, like, I guess is a good reason to drink alcohol.
I guess.
I don't know. But that if you ate a fermented food, like malted barley, or drank malted barley, you could replace it. Which sounds fun, but not, you know, helpful.
Right, or correct or real.
They also, in this same time period that we had already figured this out, we're still telling people, I don't know, maybe bloodletting.
Just eat an orange.
Just
take this orange and eat it.
No, just drink some salt water.
No.
Or maybe, you know what? Maybe it's just that you're lazy and you need to work a lot harder on the ship and then it'll get better.
If I was them, I would go on a boat that was going to go on a long trip and bring enough oranges for me. That would be my secret orange supply. 6 months in, I'm running the ship. They do whatever I tell them to do. They do my bidding because I'll be like king of the ship. Because they'll have scurvy, and I'll be like, fine.
So if you ever...
If you need my... I'll be in my room eating some orange pentacult.
If you ever invent time travel, is that what you're going to do?
Yeah. No, thing one. Go eat a bunch of orange pentacult in an old-timey ship while everybody gets scurvy around me.
That is the weirdest thing that anybody's probably already ever said in response to, if you could travel through time, what would you do?
It'd be my one thing. The one thing I'd want to do.
The other things that were recommended were something called scurvy grass, which was just a kind of grass that probably wasn't very helpful. There was wild celery, wood sorrel, soup, mustard, sauerkraut, molasses, beans, or earth was thought to be helpful. This was like a superstitious belief. Mm-hmm. Being out on the sea was sickening, like it would make you sick. So
return to Gaia.
Yeah, return to the earth and you'll be okay. So there were people who tried to like bury themselves in the ground like halfway and see if like just being encased in the earth would be helpful, which, I mean... I guess saved the gravediggers some time on the other end.
Yeah, and local kids.
A little dark there. Yeah, sorry about that.
Ugh, gross. Happy holidays. And then the local kids kick sand in their faces. So that was sad too.
So that doesn't work. Things changed somewhat in 1795 when Sir Gilbert Blane, physician to the fleet of the British Navy, repeated some of Lynn's experiment by giving all the sailors on one particular long voyage a ration of rum, water, sugar, and lemon juice.
Like a cocktail?
It sounded pretty good. I would be on board with this plan.
Right, especially kept me from getting scurvy.
Most of them didn't get scurvy, and the few who actually did, he gave them extra just lemon juice, and they got better. And this led to the widespread use of lemons by the British Navy. Now, the weird thing is, it was lemons.
Lemons.
But... But what did it lead to, famously, that people still think?
The gin and tonic, right?
No. You are so off base.
The lime cordial.
It led to the term limeys that used to be used as a negative slang term to refer to British people in general.
There was a cocktail that came from this era.
No, well, okay. I'm certain it did.
I'm pulling that out of my
mouth. No, I'm talking about the term limeys.
Got it.
Which specifically was for British sailors because of this association that they all were given citrus fruit to take with them on trips, which was a really good idea. And I don't know why we were insulting them for it. you know, but then maybe became this like generic kind of slang term. Although it's funny because when I was reading some of the articles, they all note now... The term limey is embraced by British people as kind of a funny, fun little...
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that's true or not. So if I have offended anyone by using that term, I'm sorry. I don't think it is. But it's wrong, too, because they weren't issued limes. Eating limes.
Nobody would have been able to hurt my feelings with that either. It's like, well, I'll see you on the other side, I guess, homie. when you're hunched around, like crouching around like Quasimodo.
That is not.
And just like looking awesome and swinging around with a saber and like pirating and like stealing other ships and stuff and with my cool accent.
I have told you that it does not cause you to be scrunched over.
That's a popular thing.
No, it's not. But the limey thing was, and again, it was wrong because limes don't have nearly as much vitamin C as lemons do. You're much better off with lemons or oranges.
Lemony is like not a, that's not a term. Lemony? Lemony.
Or in fact, so, like I said, onions would be even better. For instance, during the Civil War, many men... Oranges? Not as good as oranges, no. But they're up there on the chart. During the Civil War, there were a lot of men who developed scurvy due to like limited food supplies at the, you know, at the front lines. And there wasn't obviously a lot of citrus fruit, but there were a lot of potatoes and onions. And by now we didn't know that there was vitamin C, but we knew that they, like citrus fruit, could help with scurvy. Potatoes do too, actually. So they collected onions and potatoes and sent them to the front. And this led to, for a while, there was a slogan during the Civil War, don't send your sweetheart a love letter, send him an onion.
Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't like to get a nice onion? The problem is, where do you put the stamp? So nobody can figure out.
Is that your great onion joke for the day?
That's my great onion joke. Send your hubby an onion, he'll find it very appealing. Send him an onion. It's the one thoughtful gift guaranteed to make him cry. That's a not bad one.
That one's actually pretty good. Okay, I'll give you that one. All right. I'll give you that one.
All right.
It wasn't until... So even with this adoption of all of this with vitamin C, it wasn't until 1907 when Lynn's experiment was again repeated in a lab and published again, by scientists that, you know what, we definitely believe that there is something in citrus fruit that fixes scurvy, even though it was being used anecdotally and by local doctors on all these different levels. And even though it had been adopted by the British Navy, it was still not widespread until 1907, which is crazy because we had the cure in 1753.
You know, It's that's a weird thing about. I wonder how they. Seems like it would be a hard thing to do a lab experiment on. Like, seems like nutritional deficiencies would be really hard to control for.
It would. I mean, that's why you get so many. That's why you get so many descriptions of scurvy that are actually like also rickets or also beriberi or something. You know, that's why you get so many like nutritional deficiencies.
I just don't know how you would keep people from doing that in their day to day lives. You know what I mean? Like if they're not on a ship.
Yeah, it was very difficult. It took them a long time.
I assume they got to pay people money, maybe. You have to pay them to not eat anything citrusy while they're not at the lab.
Yeah. No, I'm sure you could do that.
Yeah, it'll work.
Now, we actually didn't figure out, like I mentioned, that vitamin C was the culprit until we figured out what vitamin C was, and that was in the 1930s. And as you know, as we've talked about vitamin C before, it has been wildly popular ever since. So you don't see as much scurvy nowadays. It is possible there are cases of scurvy. It's not eliminated by any stretch. Any of us could get scurvy at any time if we stopped eating vitamin C, but it's certainly not as common as it used to be.
I want to say this right now. Never going to stop.
Never going to stop eating vitamin C?
Yeah.
Well, that, I mean, that's good because you'll get scurvy if you do.
I'm never going to stop. Don't think you can change me.
Okay. No, I don't want you to because you'll get scurvy. Remember, I told you that part.
Thanks to Maximum Fun for letting us be a part of their network. There's a lot of great shows you can go here at MaximumFun.org. Sort of last notice here, we're doing a show December 21st on Monday, 8 p.m., Huntington, West Virginia, the Big Sandy Superstore Arena. If you can get by there, it's going to be fun. It's Candle Nights. It's us and my brother and me. It's going to be a hoot nanny, I think. A real hoot and a holler. I think that's going to do it for us. Thanks to the taxpayers for letting us use your song Medicines as the intro and outro of our program. And thank you so much to you. Sorry this episode was a little late. You know, holidays and sickness and all the other excuses that we all have to keep our podcast late.
But we hope you enjoy it and don't get scurvy.
Don't get scurvy.
So eat all those satsumas.
And the orange pentecost. Come and over and have some orange pentecost.
Oh, your Christmas lemons. Traditional Christmas lemons.
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
As always, don't drill a hole in your head.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.